Hey everyone, and welcome back, ready for another deep dive.
Always.
Awesome. Today, we're going to be looking at something super important in the therapy world.
Oh, yeah.
Multicultural orientation.
It's a big one.
It is. We're going to go like way beyond just the basics, right? We're going to try to really understand how therapists can really effectively work with clients from all different backgrounds and walks of life.
Absolutely. It's such essential work.
Yeah. And so to kind of guide us on this journey, we have this 2018 article, The Multicultural Orientation Framework, a Narrative Review.
By Davis et al.
By Davis, yes, thank you. And it's a research article, so, you know, it can be a little dense.
It is.
But trust me, it is. It's packed with insights.
Oh, it's fascinating. Really points to a significant shift in how we approach this whole idea of working with diverse clients.
I am so excited to unpack it all with you.
Let's do it.
So to start off, I know that the multicultural movement in psychology, it's a big deal, like a really big deal. But can you just remind me like why it's considered like such a game changer in the field?
Well, think of it this way. You've got psychoanalysis, behaviorism, humanism, all these huge turning points in how we understand the mind.
Right.
Right. The multicultural movement is right up there with them. It really pushed the field of psychology to recognize, you know, to actually address these mental health disparities that exist among different racial and ethnic minority populations.
Yeah. And they actually refer to them in the research as REM populations, right?
Exactly. REM populations. And these are groups that historically they've faced so many barriers to getting quality mental health care.
So basically, the movement kind of came about because research was showing that, hey, these populations aren't getting the same level of care, and the outcomes are reflecting that, right?
Exactly, spot on. And to try and address this, there was a big push to start incorporating what we call multicultural competencies.
MCCs.
Yeah, MCCs into therapist training and accreditation. It seemed pretty logical at the time, right? Like equip therapists with the knowledge, the skills they need to work effectively with all these diverse clients.
Yeah, like a checklist.
Right, exactly. But here's where things get a little sticky. The research hasn't really found a super strong connection between a therapist's self-reported MCCs, like what they say they know and can do, and how their clients actually do in therapy.
So just knowing the right stuff, like on paper,
right,
doesn't mean you're going to get better results for your clients. Like there's a disconnect there.
That's the issue. And the article actually points to the language we're using. It's like the term competence itself as part of the problem.
Interesting.
They even say, and this is a direct quote, "Second, we wanted to shift the language from competencies to orientation to more closely align with how psychotherapy is taught."
Ooh, I love a good language shift. What's the nuance there? Like, what makes orientation a better fit than competence?
Well, think about the word competence. It kind of implies a finish line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you've arrived.
Exactly. You've reached this level, you've checked all the boxes, boom, you're competent. But working with people from diverse backgrounds, it's not about checking boxes. It's an ongoing process. It's learning and growing and constantly adapting your approach.
So it's more like a way of being.
It is a way to being, not just this set of skills you acquire and then you're done.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's like you're never really done, right? It's not like you arrive at cultural competence.
Right.
It's a continuous journey. And I think that's such a good takeaway for anybody, not even just therapists.
Oh, for sure.
Like anybody working with diverse clients or just interacting with people from different backgrounds.
100%. Even the most seasoned therapists, you know, we're all continually learning, refining our understanding of different cultures. It's about humility. Not this sense of like, I've got it all figured out.
Okay, so competence isn't really the best way to think about this. What is? This multicultural orientation framework you mentioned, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, the MTO framework, and it's really at the heart of what we're diving into today. It moves away from this rigid idea of competence and gives us a more dynamic, more realistic approach to, you know, culturally sensitive therapy.
I love it already. So tell me more about like the core principles. Like what should our listener be paying attention to? What are the big takeaways here?
Okay, so it rests on three key pillars. The first one, and this is like the foundation, is cultural humility. It's all about recognizing your own limitations and really being open to learning from your clients' experiences, their perspectives, especially those that are shaped by their culture.
I mean, that makes so much sense, right? If you're going into a relationship like that thinking you've got it all figured out, you're probably missing something.
Yeah, you've got blind spots.
Totally. So how does this cultural humility actually play out in therapy? Like, what does it look like in action?
Okay, so that's where the second pillar comes in. Cultural opportunities.
Okay.
Therapists who really embody this cultural humility, they don't shy away from those cultural differences, right? They actually seek them out. They utilize those moments in therapy to really engage with their clients' cultural identities.
So it's not just about avoiding the missteps. It's about actively trying to understand your clients through that lens, right?
It is. You said it perfectly. Creating those opportunities for a deeper understanding.
I love that. Okay, so we've got cultural humility, cultural opportunities. What's the third pillar?
This one is cultural comfort. And it's really about the therapist's ease, their confidence in engaging with these cultural differences. It's about, you know, not shying away from the potentially sensitive topics or those challenging conversations that need to happen.
So it's not about avoiding the hard stuff. It's about approaching it with a genuine desire to understand.
Yes, exactly. It's about creating that space where clients feel safe, respected, and they feel like they can truly open up and share their experiences.
It sounds like these three pillars work together to create a more authentic and effective experience for the client.
It does, and that's where the research comes in.
Yes. Does it actually work?
That's what's so exciting. The research on the MCO framework is still pretty early, but we're already seeing some really promising findings.
Awesome. So we'll get into that after a quick break, right?
Exactly. We'll dive into those findings next.
Perfect. Okay, so let's dive into that research. What are some of the key findings that have emerged so far?
Well, one of the most exciting things is that these MCO constructs, especially when they're kind of consistently woken into the therapist's approach, can actually predict better outcomes for clients.
That's what we want to hear. Like, what kind of outcomes are we talking about specifically?
So we're seeing things like increased client-reported improvement, meaning like clients are feeling better, they're experiencing positive changes, and we're also seeing lower rates of clients ending therapy too early.
Oh, that makes sense. If clients feel understood, you know, respected, especially in terms of their cultural background, they're more likely to like stick with therapy and really give it a chance to work, right?
For sure, yeah. It really highlights just how much of an impact a therapist's approach can have.
Totally. And so when we look closer at cultural humility, like that cornerstone of the MCO framework,
right?
What are studies finding about that specifically?
Well, studies are finding that therapists who are perceived by their clients as culturally humble, they tend to build stronger therapeutic relationships, which is...
It's like any relationship, right? Trust is the foundation.
Yeah.
And that trust is deepened when you feel like the other person is genuinely interested in understanding you and where you're coming from.
Exactly. And here's another really interesting finding that kind of speaks to the power of cultural humility. Research suggests that it can actually act as a buffer, almost like protecting the therapeutic relationship from the damage that can be caused by, you know, cultural misunderstandings or even what we call microaggressions.
Oh, that's so interesting. Can you explain what microaggressions are, like in the context of therapy? I think our listeners might be wondering.
Yeah, totally. So imagine like a therapist, maybe unintentionally, assuming a client's religious beliefs based only on their ethnicity.
Yeah.
Or maybe they dismiss a client's cultural traditions without really taking the time to understand their significance. These are examples of microaggressions, those kind of subtle, often hurtful comments or actions that can kind of convey bias or prejudice towards someone based on their cultural identity.
Even if the therapist means well.
Right. Even with the best intention.
Those little things can really add up.
They do. Yeah. Those seemingly small slips can erode trust and make a client feel like they're not really seen or heard.
It's like death by a thousand paper cuts, right?
That's a perfect way to put it. Each one might seem minor on its own, but yeah, they can accumulate and really take a toll on the relationship.
Yeah. So what the research is showing is that cultural humility, that genuine openness to learning and understanding, can actually equip therapist to kind of navigate those trickier situations more effectively.
It is, yeah. And it's not about being perfect, never making mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
It's about having the humility to acknowledge and address those mistakes when they happen.
So it's not just about being aware of these differences, it's about approaching those differences with humility and a willingness to learn from your client, which I think is so cool.
It is, yeah.
It sounds like this whole MCO framework really emphasizes a collaborative approach to therapy, where the therapist and the client are really like partners in the process.
Absolutely. And this brings us to a really important point. Cultural humility is essential for every therapist.
Yeah.
Regardless of their own background or the background of their clients, we all have these cultural experiences that shape how we see the world, right?
Right.
And it's so vital for therapists to approach their clients' experiences with that respect, that genuine curiosity.
It's about seeing the whole person, right? Recognizing that their cultural background is part of who they are and honoring that within that therapeutic relationship.
Exactly. It's not just about treating symptoms. It's about understanding the person within their unique cultural context.
This has been so enlightening. So can you just remind us what does the MCO framework ultimately help therapists to achieve?
I think it gives them this roadmap for delivering culturally sensitive and effective therapy, encouraging therapists to approach their work with that humility, to look for those opportunities to learn from their clients' cultural experiences, and really cultivate that confidence to navigate those, you know, those tough but really essential conversations about cultural differences.
So it's not just this theoretical framework. It's like a practical guide for therapists who want to create a more inclusive and responsive environment for their clients.
Exactly.
It's about making therapy work better for everyone, right?
Absolutely. And what's even more fascinating is that this whole framework isn't limited to just therapy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the principles of cultural humility, that openness, being other-oriented, recognizing your own limitations, it has applications way beyond the therapist's office.
You're saying that we can all benefit from a little more cultural humility in our lives?
100%. Think about your everyday interactions, right?
Yeah.
Do you approach conversations with a genuine curiosity about other people's experiences? Do you make an effort to understand perspectives that are different from your own? And are you willing to, like, acknowledge your own biases, those blind spots we all have?
Wow, those are some powerful questions. And I'm starting to see how incorporating those principles could really, like, transform how we relate to each other.
Yeah.
It's about moving beyond just tolerance, right? It's going to a place of genuine appreciation and respect for, like, all the richness of human diversity.
You said it perfectly. It's about recognizing that our differences aren't barriers. They're actually opportunities for us to grow and connect more deeply.
I love that. This has been such an insightful conversation. So as we kind of wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the one, like, crucial message that our listeners should take away about multicultural orientation in therapy? It really feels like multicultural competent. It's about so much more than just checking off boxes or, you know, memorizing a bunch of facts about different cultures.
Right. It's deeper than that.
Yeah. It's this ongoing journey.
It is.
Of learning and growing. And it's fueled by that humility and that genuine desire to really understand the unique experiences of each client.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's recognizing that each person walks into therapy with their own unique set of experiences shaped by their culture. And it's our responsibility as therapists to meet them right there with that openness and curiosity.
And the MCO framework, I mean, that really gives therapists a practical way to do that, right?
It does, yeah. It's not about reaching this, like, perfect level of competence.
Because you can't.
Right? It's impossible. It's about, like we said, cultivating a way of being, an orientation that prioritizes cultural humility, recognizes those opportunities to connect with the client's culture, and fosters that cultural comfort.
And like we were talking about, these principles, they go way beyond just therapy, right?
For sure. We can all benefit from bringing a little more cultural humility into our own lives, you know, approaching our interactions with that sense of curiosity and willingness to challenge our own assumptions.
Yeah, because our differences, they aren't something to be afraid of or avoid, right?
Right.
They're actually opportunities for us to connect.
Absolutely, for deeper connection and understanding.
I love that. So for our listener, I think I want to leave you with this question. Where could you use a little more cultural humility in your own life?
Ooh, good one.
Yeah. How could embracing these principles, how could that transform your interactions, your relationships? It's something to think about.
Yeah, it's a great question to reflect on.
Yeah. Big thanks to our expert for sharing these incredible insights today. It's been really eye-opening.
It's been fun.
And to our amazing listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this has sparked your curiosity and given you some tools to think about how you can have those more meaningful, more culturally sensitive interactions in your own life. And keep those questions coming. We'll be back soon with another fascinating deep dive.